Nebraska part of the field is now in session. May all who come here be heard. May truth and justice be served by what we do here.
Good afternoon. Please be seated.
Oh, I always forget I need a telephone booth to see over the ledge on me. Well, welcome to our March panel. We're always happy to be here in Norfolk in March, unless it's going to be a flood.
Right.
We've done that before. We have three cases today on our panel. We will take them in the order in which they are listed. I am pleased to be joined with Judge Larry Walsh on my left and Judge Mike Pirtle on my right. We are recording these today, but they will not be video. But if you want to go back and listen to them, you ought to be able to listen to the audio part of it. We are currently still missing the appellant's attorney for the second case, so we'll go ahead and we will proceed with the first case, and then if we need to adjust second and third, we can do that. Okay? All right, so with that, we will start with our first case of the day, Wilbarger versus Newcomb Diesel. Yes, please do.
All right. May it please the court, my name is Jared Curici and I represent the appellant, Sean Wilbarger. This is a case involving personal jurisdiction over an out-of-state defendant. To begin my argument, I wanted to begin with an analogy or two. To my knowledge, I have no connection to the state of North Dakota, but if I chose to drive my car up north into the state of North Dakota and drive negligently and cause an accident, there would be no dispute that North Dakota courts would have personal jurisdiction over that action against me due to my one connection of purposefully availing myself to the state of North Dakota and its laws. And I would be subject to jurisdiction in North Dakota because of that accident. A second analogy would be if I ran a business in the state of Nebraska and I sold cattle feed to the state of Michigan on a series of occasions, and I shipped cattle feed to the state of Michigan. I knew it went to the state of Michigan, and on one occasion over a course of years, one of those shipments was defective and poisonous, and it poisoned cattle in the state of Michigan. There would be no dispute that I would be subject to the state of suit in the state of Michigan because I knowingly shipped my product there and availed myself of the benefits of the laws of the state of Michigan. And the second analogy is really what is similar to the case here. The only thing that creates a wrinkle is modern technology. In this case, the defendant, which I refer to as the Michigan defendants in my brief, one business, had a relationship with the business in Kearney, Nebraska, where they provided software to that business in Kearney, Nebraska for a span of about 2 years. And on one of those occasions, the software that was shipped virtually from Michigan to Kearney, Nebraska was installed in my client's semi-trucks. And in our complaint, it's our allegation that that software was defective and caused the semi-trucks to malfunction and cause damage to my client.
So one clarification on the facts there. So the Michigan defendants, they didn't manufacture or code or whatever the software. They described themselves as a middleman that Newcomb Diesel contacted. They put them in touch with the software provider. It was the software provider that then provided the product to Newcomb Diesel, correct?
That's what they state in their affidavit, and the response to that question is that it doesn't matter in this case that they claim that they didn't manufacture it, because under the substantive law of strict liability and breach of implied warranties, the seller, whether or not they manufacture it or not, it can still be liable. So that question touches on the substantive law. And since we still have a cause of action against someone who sells allegedly dysfunctional product, then the fact that they didn't manufacture it, create it, It shouldn't matter in this case.
Even though they didn't manufacture it, didn't contract with Newcomb Diesel, their contacts, because we're talking about contacts here, right? It's a minimum contacts test. Is it sufficient? Is it sufficient minimum contacts that Newcomb Diesel reaches out to them through apparently the internet, finds an internet advertisement, as I recall in the affidavit, and through that advertisement, they put them in touch with this software provider. The software provider then is contracting with Newcomb Diesel. The software provider is negotiating that deal. They describe themselves as a middleman. Is a middleman that's up in Michigan in response to a web ad? Is that sufficient minimum contacts in the state of Nebraska?
My interpretation of that affidavit is that the Michigan defendants in this case don't write the program, but they are essentially the seller. And in the affidavit, it states that the Michigan defendants bill Newcomb Diesel in this case, and they're the initial contact, although they don't create the program. That's somebody else. So to go back to your question, Your Honor, I think I might have forgot your question, but is that sufficient minimum contacts? It is, because the test is purposeful of ailment. And when the Michigan defendants took that business, over a course of several years, they knew that Newcomb Diesel was based in the state of Nebraska. And they chose to do that business, so they purposefully availed themselves to the state of Nebraska, which is to distinguish, you know, the case that would distinguish it is worldwide Volkswagen, where the car is sold in one state, it's driving through Oklahoma, and the defendant had nothing to do with Oklahoma. In this case, they knew they were dealing with a Nebraska business. They chose to do that business, and that's the core important part, really.
We're trying to figure out the analytical framework to attach here. So if the middleman, the Michigan defendants, if they have this internet advertisement that they can, you know, you reach out to them to try and get this software for your product, someone answers that internet ad and they put them in touch with the party that ultimately provides the product. Is the analytical framework, have you ever heard of the Zippo manufacturing test in connection with minimum contacts when people are responding as it relates to the internet throughout the United States? Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with it, Your Honor. And my impression of the Zippo test, that is not a U.S. Supreme Court case. It's a court of appeals from a federal court of appeals case.
Right.
I think the Zippo test, and I haven't looked at it recently, I think it's not necessarily consistent with United States Supreme Court precedent on personal jurisdiction, because the United States and the Supreme Court of Nebraska's jurisprudence on personal jurisdiction and specific jurisdiction focuses on purposeful availment. And on the Zippo test, I don't recall all of the factors, but it looks at various factors of the interactivity of the website, things of that nature. And that doesn't come from any of the United States Supreme Court precedent, and it doesn't focus on purposeful availment, in that the defendant had a choice to do that business, and they chose to do it, and they knew they were doing it with a person from a different state. And so I would ask the court to not use the Zippo test and to follow the purposeful availment doctrine that I've been relying on.
In which United States Supreme Court case do you think Zippo is contrary to?
Well, what I think it is most contrary to is Worldwide Volkswagen Corp. versus Woodson. There's so much that's been written on personal jurisdiction that you can piecemeal parts that help you and hurt you, but the quote that I think is most apt here is, when a corporation purposefully avails itself of the privilege of conducting activities within the forum state, it has clear notice that it is subject to suit there. And the act of voluntarily doing business in a state gives you that fair notice that goes into due process.
So you think there's purposeful availment if Newcomb Diesel, a Nebraska company, responds to an internet ad to these Michigan defendants, who then put them in touch with somebody else that ultimately provides the product, just responding to that ad, if that product ends up there because they're in the middle of that transaction, that's sufficient minimum contacts to avail, to hail them into this form?
I believe it is purposeful availment that's sufficient when they accept the job and they answer back to when Newcomb Diesel reaches out to the Michigan defendants. The Michigan defendants have a choice as to whether they're going to take this job on or not. And that is my contention of purposeful availment. Well, I'm about out of time. Were there any further questions, Your Honor?
Do we have a U.S. Supreme Court that deals with purposeful availment as it relates to the Internet?
As it relates to the Internet, not specifically that I can recall, Your Honors.
Because that kind of throws a wrinkle in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, it throws a wrinkle in, but I don't think that it's necessarily relevant to the analysis, because 20 years ago, when business was not done as commonly over the internet, people did business over the phone or over the mail, and I think it's analogous to those previous forms of business that went on then and still go on now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And the appellee has waived argument, so the case is submitted.
Thank you.
Thank you.